Well, the Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook, and go to warriors.com for the full details. Tonight we flash back to another great night for Stephen Curry, making some history against the Dallas Mavericks. To help us relive those moments, Chuck Cooperstein, the great voice of the Dallas Mavericks, joins me right now. And Chuck, I had to say, and you know, we're bringing you on to talk about a night where you know Steph ends up with a 51 in the game. But maybe in a few years, you might be calling me because Luka Doncic has been doing a little bit of that to the Warriors the last couple of years.
Yeah, the three triple doubles, and all I believe at least two of them were in three quarters.
On this particular night, Dallas puts up 42 in the first. They led 40-18, but then in the second half, Curry just kind of flipped the switch, as he has been known to do, and it's one of the more remarkable nights in his career.
You'd be better able to judge that than I am. I just know that Curry has had some absurdly great nights against the Mavericks, and you know, here's again, you know, here's the Warriors are now in the process of being the Warriors. You know, they're going on, they're doing what they're doing. They're the best team in basketball. I mean, they're coming into the game, they're 39-8. I mean, the Mavericks are, you know, certainly respectable, 33-18 coming into the game. But the way that game started, and again, the Mavericks had won in open in a while. They hadn't won since April of 2012. And so they had some close calls. You know, Curry won a game back in December 2013. You know, there was another game that turned around on a Brandon Wright, what the Mavericks believe was a goaltend against Brandon Wright. You know, out in Oakland, and it wound up. You know, the Mavericks I think came up 3 points short in that game. It might have been Curry at his most explosive, and when it was necessary, because his team was just, you know, flatter than the floor to start the game. I mean, the Mavericks got out to a 20-point lead 6 minutes into the game. It was like 24-4. And, you know, that's when you need your big guns to be able to fire and get everybody rallied around. And, you know, he was in the process of doing that. He had an 11-point first quarter in that game, and you know, the Warriors were still trailing by 17 at the end of one. So he's almost single-handedly keeping them in there. And but I must say that the feeling that I know Brad Davis and I had when you know, we're watching this game and knowing how Golden State could score and what Curry could do is like, that leap does not feel safe. It does not feel safe in the least. And then he just, you know, he has one of those extraordinary quarters and extraordinary halves. It hits the second highest scoring half by a Mavericks opponent in the 40 years of the franchise. Only Jamal Crawford, on the night that Dirk retired, had a bigger night. He had 39 in the second half of that. But, and you know, it was all, it's how Curry always does his stuff. It's, you know, it's stepping into threes. It's doing it off the dribble. It's coming off of screens to do it to catch and shoot. It's being able to get the ball in the lane and shoot the floaters. It was the entire arsenal that was on display. And frankly, it didn't matter who was guarding him for the Mavericks. And as we know that when he gets into those moments, there are very few people on this earth who are really capable of stopping him from scoring.
26 points in the third quarter. He was 8 of 8, which was a career high for Steph at the time, 36 in the second half. He was 8 of 11 in the third, 6 of 7 from 3 in the third, and 4 of 5 from the line. I mean, that's staggering type numbers. And what's amazing, and you're getting a sense of this, with, as I mentioned before, with Luka Doncic, but it's amazing when the players get into that kind of a zone. Because their shot selection probably goes down, but it doesn't matter. You know, they're just on such a roll that it's really incredible to watch, and it just kind of goes against the normal, the normal,
normal way of thinking.
Yeah, normal way of thinking at that time.
Yeah, but the difference between Curry and Doncic right now, anyway, that Curry has always been an elite shooter. Yes, he could be taking shots from distances that heretofore were unimaginable, but still, I mean, he was a great 3-point shooter. Coming to that game, he's a 40% 3-point shooter. Doncic has never been that consistent when it comes to his 3-point shooting.
The guy I feel for in doing this series, Chuck, is Tyson Chandler, because I did an earlier one this week with Mike Breen of the New York Knicks, and Steph had 54 at the Garden, and that night Tyson Chandler had 28 rebounds in that game, but nobody remembers that. And in this particular game for Dallas, he had 21 points and 17 rebounds, but nobody remembers that either. So I feel bad for Tyson.
Well, and also, when you lose by 14, it's kind of lost in the mix. And the other guy who actually was really good that night was Chandler Parsons.
Yep.
And especially early in the game, he was terrific. Dirk did not play well that night. The Mavericks scored. They scored 114 points. You would think that even before the revolution that we've now seen, in 2020, 114 should have been enough, but it wasn't even close to being enough, because the Warriors just shot lights out as they were wont to do, and Curry was lead the band doing that.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but it's going to be fun. I think you'll like this. In my notes on this game.
I'll be the judge of that.
Okay. In my notes on this game, Klay Thompson scored 50 earlier in the season, so they became the first teammates to score 50 in the same season since 94-95. And there were two sets of players on two different teams that did it that year. Do you have a...
Wow.
And one of them was a team that you're very familiar with.
That would be Jimmy Jackson and Jamal Mashburn.
Yes, yep. And they both did it in the first month of the season.
The Mavericks had very few great moments in the decade of the 90s. I mean, they were, by winning percentage, they were the worst professional franchise in the decade of the 90s, regardless of sport. But the one thing they did have going for them at that time was Jackson, Mashburn, and Jason Kidd was alongside as well. And, of course, they were unable to sustain that for varied and sundry reasons. But that was perhaps the only bright spot of the 90s was watching those two, because you knew those two could really score.
Now, the other set of players who did 94-95, and I got to tell you, this one just blew me away, were two players on the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm just going to give them to you. Dana Barros had 50 against
Dana
the Rockets.
Barros.
Yeah. And Willie Burton put up 53 on Miami.
We're hardcore.
Yeah.
But, man, that's really rooting it out of the ground.
If you come up with those, you are the all-time NBA Jeopardy winner right there.
Yes. Wow. When do you think the Splash Brothers really became the Splash Brothers? And I wouldn't be surprised, really, even just thinking about it now, even as Clay, Clay was... he was there, and I was a little younger than Curry, but it sort of took him a while to kind of find his sea legs and what this was all about. They just became lethal together, it seemed like. If not that year, maybe the year before, in the midst of the Warrior rise.
Yeah, I think I have to go back a little bit earlier. It was just a real flash, but it was that playoff series against San Antonio. Steph went off in game one in a big way. And Klay Thompson went off in game two, and the Warriors split in San Antonio. The Warriors hadn't won San Antonio since before Tim Duncan. I remember Coach Pop coming out after the game, and he said, I'm really happy that both of them didn't decide to go off in the same game. And so that kind of was a little foreshadowing of what was to come. But by the time we got to 14-15, Draymond Green starting now and everything's fitting and flowing. Yeah, they at that point you realized, okay, we're not just looking at a good team here. This is a great team, and it really started everything. Chuck, as always, I had fun talking some round ball with you. We're both very fortunate to have be able to chronicle people like Dirk Nowitzki and Stephen Curry and Luka Doncic and Klay Thompson and Draymond. So it's I think you and I have had a lot of nights where we could watch some greatness in play right in front of us.
There is no question about that. As I always tell people, there are 7.5 billion people on Earth. There are 30 people who do what we do. And, you know, that I always put them in the proper perspective, you know, just what it's like to watch that every single night. So I hope you're well. I hope everybody's safe out there. And really looking forward to the time, whether doing this remotely or we're actually back in buildings, that we can see the NBA again.
My thanks to Chuck Cooperstein, the voice of the Dallas Mavericks. And a reminder, the Warriors are re-airing all these classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to warriors.com for full details.